Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Yea, my people, and I would say unto you this day, am not I the God of heaven and earth? Does not my glory fill the heavens and fill the earth? And I say unto you this day, as I have opened the wells, yea, as I have caused the river to flow, yea, I say unto you that I shall cause thee now to become a refuge. For yea, in the coming days there shall be perilous times. And I say unto thee that if thou would look into the past, just as I have said in my word that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, have I not said that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And yea, I say unto you, through these years I have brought thee through perils, and I have brought thee through good times. Yea, I have brought thee through the storms, and I have brought thee through the sunny times. And I say unto you that it was for a reason and for a cause. For yea, I, the Lord thy God, shall pour out of my wrath and of my spirit upon the whole earth. And yea, they shall see and they shall know. And I say unto you that I have set up refuges, places where they may become, places where they can come and feel and know and learn of me. For I say unto you, yea, my people, be unto me those things that I shall set before thee. For yea, I shall cause thee to be mighty in this area. Yea, I shall cause thee to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For yea, I am in thee and I am with thee. Yea, I have unified thee, and yea, I have brought thee to the kingdom for such a time as this. And yea, I say unto you, as you will stand before me, and yea, as thou wilt wait upon me, yea, will not I bring revelations of my glory? Yea, will not I bring revelations of my power? For I say unto you that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Yea, march forth as an army, for yea, thou art the army of the Lord. And I say unto you, put on the full armor of God, for thou wilt need it. For yea, thou wilt cause others to be strengthened because of the things that I shall do through you and in you and around you and about you. For I am the Lord thy God, mighty in the midst of my church.
Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Stand up and worship. Stand up and worship. Stand up and worship. Stand up and worship.
We worship you, God.
Stand up and worship. Oh, God, we praise you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Oh, la casada canibaco, shida malaka, drono no casada balaga, sada coda balaga, sada de, nudoco suda, e nidoco suta be, nidaca sada no shite, medica sada balaca sada, e nidoco suta, nidne, e nidne, nicoda nacata, nirco nudoco suda balaca sada, e nidoco sula baha sada balaca sada doco suda.
Yet I say unto you, yea. Do not mock, or do not be dismayed, or do not be discouraged, or do not be doubting. For I say unto you this day, my people, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Yea, as thou dost look around about thee, and thou dost see the turmoil, as thou dost see the earthquakes, as thou dost see the volcanoes erupting, as thou dost see the seas rising, I say unto you, surely that there is a mighty God on the move. Yea, I am an army, and I say unto you that I have said to you in times past that the standard bearer has come, and he stands before me this day, just as he stands for you this day. And my people, I say unto you, be not dismayed or be not discouraged because of the things that I have said unto you, because ye shall be mighty in the name of the Lord thy God.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, mahasada kodogo soda barakasada. Praise you, God. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yea, my people, I say to you again, do not worry. Do not fret, saith the Lord thy God. Did not I record in my word, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity? Have not I said unto you that as the army goes forth, yea, my armies always conquer. Yea, yes. I say unto you, fret not my people, and do not worry. Do not be dismayed because of the things that the Lord says unto thee. For have not I prepared thee, as I have said unto you, have not I prepared you for such a time as this? Have not I prepared you for such a time as this? Do you not see the things that I am doing in thy midst? Do you not see the great things that I am doing? Yea, maybe thou dost not see the house full today, but I say unto you, yea, and look unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt see miracles. Thou shalt see mighty things done. For I say unto you, they will come because of their worry. They will come because of their dismay. And yea, my anchor holds, and today you are my anchor. Stay in me, saith the Lord thy God, and thou shalt see the hand of the Lord work. Not only in thy families, but I say unto you, in the family of God, you shall see a mighty thing begin to rush forth across this nation and across this world. Because my people, I say to you, I do have a remnant, and my remnant shall rise up, saith God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God.
God would say unto you, yea, and I would say unto you, yea, my daughter, worry not, fret not because of the things that I say and because of the things that I do. Yea, I am God Almighty unto you. Yea, I can bring thee through the storm. Yea, I say unto you, look unto the Lord thy God. Fret not, be not dismayed. Do not worry, saith God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a deliverer. And know this day, I have delivered you, saith God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Oh, worship, worship, worship the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus.
And I say unto you this day, yea, thou canst look back and see all of the turmoil and all the heartache and all of the anguish. But I say unto you, as a mighty warrior and as a victor, I have brought thee through. Yea, I have caused thee and thy husband to have the ministry that I have called you to. Yea, I say unto thee that it is not always good and fuzzy and happy and lovely. For yea, the ministry is a warfare. And yea, I say unto you that you have been warriors for me, saith God. And yea, I shall continue to use you. And yea, I shall continue to build my kingdom through you and around and about you. For yea, thou hast been called for such a time as this. I have called thee to be one with thy husband. I have called thee to be one with thy church. Yea, I have caused thee to be one in the ministry that I have given unto thee. And yea, know this day that I shall lift thee up, and I shall cause thee, saith God, to be the warrior cloaked in the armor of God.
Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, my daughter, I say unto you this day, yea, I have called thee from the time that thou was a child. Yea, thou hast gone through hard times, and thou hast gone through dark times. But I say unto you, have not I always walked beside of thee? Have not I always led thee and guided thee? And I say unto you that thou art a pillar in the house of God. For yea, I have set thee, and thou hast not turned back from the things that I have spoken unto you. Thou hast not turned back from following the ones that I have set before you. Yea, thou hast been obedient to those that have the authority over you. And I say unto thee this day, that yea, I am pleased with thee. Yea, I am pleased with thee, my daughter. And I say unto you, thou art not the only one in this place. But yea, I say to you and through you and to them, yea, thou hast been called for such a time as this. Yea, I have set thee in the place that I wanted thee. Yea, thou art not in this position, in this place, on this street. But it is the reasons of God that I have placed thee here. For yea, thou shalt be the center of the things that I shall do in this community and the communities around about thee. Yea, this is the place that I have called thee to. Yea, my daughter, I say unto you, look unto me, for there shall be revelations that thou canst not even understand at this moment, but revelations of the things of God.
Well, are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start out with our favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. That has been such a word of the Lord. The start of 2013, I was asking God before that Sunday, I said, Lord, times look hard. They look really rough. And I was really concerned in my spirit for what the United States and the church in the United States was about to face. And I asked God, I need a word. I've never gone before the Lord and asked for a word like that before. But I said, we need a word. And this is the scripture he gave me. I mean, supernaturally he gave me. I didn't study to get it. God gave it to me. Of thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And God has delivered, and we have had a couple miracles that have come out just of that word. Of out and out miracles that have come just from that word because it has gotten rooted and grounded on the inside of us. Amen? God is good. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. There may be people getting up and leaving through the service, getting ready for the dinner that's to come, but I want you to turn to Matthew 21. Add about 5 minutes to what I said before, but Matthew 21. And this is about Jesus entering Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and closed and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I'm going to stop right there of reading the scripture for a minute, but this is what we call Palm Sunday. And it has special significance for us as Living Faith because Palm Sunday was the day Living Faith started. And so our anniversary is always falling around the time of Easter, the time of Palm Sunday. It's always in this general time because it was on Palm Sunday. The actual date was April 15, 1984. So we are real close. I was teasing this morning. So the first blood moon appears on our actual anniversary. It must be a sign. That's all I'm saying about that. But praise God, Palm Sunday. Now, this is what's crucial about Palm Sunday in the scripture. Palm Sunday is setting the sequence of events for everything that follows. For the betrayal of Jesus, for his arrest, for his crucifixion, for his resurrection. If it were not for Palm Sunday, none of those things would have happened. So Palm Sunday is the instigator. It's that thing that set everything else in motion. Now, I want us to look at this. Jesus rides into the city of God, Jerusalem, and his entry was a show. It was planned in advance. Now, I used to take offense at that. Jesus, this has just happened. But no, when I think about it and when I read the scripture, Jesus is planning this. I'll demonstrate that here in a little bit. He was planning it. He took Old Testament scriptures and he enacted them because he knew what the scriptures meant. And so Jesus is planning this because he is displaying himself as the Messiah, as the one true king. He is sending a message all through this day, all through this first day of the week. He's sending a message to Israel. Now, everyone knew about Jesus. He taught with signs, wonders, miracles. He had done this for 3 years. He had traveled about. Now, let's read in Matthew 21, the next two verses. 10 and 11. And when Jesus had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, everybody knew who Jesus was. For 3 years he had traveled. For 3 years he had done ministry. For 3 years he had preached about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here we find that they were asking, "Who is this?" As though they didn't know. Now, it's also curious, in verse 10, it says the city was moved. Now, when I looked up this word in the Greek dictionary this week, it says this word is moved of men, is used of men, that men were moved. It's not the city, the foundations of the buildings didn't quake, but the men in the city were moved when Jesus came in on a donkey. When the people heralded him and started saying, "Hosanna to the King of Kings," the people were moved by this. They were shaken. And this is what it means. It means to shake, to agitate, to cause to tremble. Well, I bet it would. Okay? It means to be, this is the second definition, to be thrown down into terror, to quake for fear. And this is the third definition, to agitate the mind. Do you know sometimes God just bugs you? Have you ever been in that spot? God just irritates you? You say, "Well, Lord, what should I do?" And he tells you, it's like, that's not what you want to hear. Anybody besides me ever been there? It's like, I know what I ought to do, I just don't want to do it right now. Well, their minds were agitated because Jesus came in making the announcement that he is the prophet, that he is the king, that he is the Messiah. And he's making an open declaration to all the city, "This is who I am declaring myself to be." And they ask, "Who is this?" Now, the problem is we see Palm Sunday through the eyes of religion. We see simply a man riding a donkey, people laying down their coats and palm branches in his way to honor him. We see a parade. We see an event. But oh, what a parade it was. Now listen to this. When we look at the parade, I want us to look at this closely. To the disciples, it was prophetic. Because Jesus had been announcing for 3 years. Three times in the Gospel of Mark, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. But don't worry, on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead." For 3 years, they'd been hearing this. So this was a prophetic thing that was happening as far as the prophets or the disciples were concerned. In verse 2, Jesus tells the disciples, and another reason why this is prophetic, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied." And here it gets really specific. "And a colt with her." You're not just going to find a donkey. There's donkeys everywhere. It's Jerusalem. Okay? It's like, if you're walking in the city, you're going to see an automobile. Duh. But he says specifically, very intentionally, you're going to find a donkey tied. Not all donkeys were tied. You're going to find this tied donkey with a colt. And he says, "Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." Very specific Jesus is about this. Now in Zechariah 9:9, because they knew what this was. In Zechariah 9:9 it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." See, they saw this when he said, this is Palm Sunday. This is the day we're entering to Jerusalem. They knew this was a big day. They didn't fully understand, but Jesus says, go get a colt. They had, because of all the things up to this moment, they had to think of Zechariah 9:9. They had to think, Jesus is finally, 3 years we've been on him, he is finally making the declaration of who he is. People had wondered who this Jesus was for some time. The authorities watched him constantly. They had set people in the meetings to watch every word that he spoke, to see what he did, to see if he would blaspheme the holy God. And they sought to arrest him and even to kill Jesus, but we're told in the scriptures, the people would not permit it. And so they were left powerless. But now it had come full bloom. Jesus is declaring himself to be king. He is declaring himself to be the Messiah simply by riding a donkey's colt into the city of Jerusalem. To the leaders, this was confrontational. The question, who is this, is more accurately asked, does Jesus really think he is the Messiah? That's what they're asking. It's not that they didn't know Jesus. It's not that they didn't know his teachings. They had watched him for 3 years. Herod even thought that possibly Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnated. They knew about this man. They knew about his teaching. So the real question is not who is he, but the real question, I believe, is does Jesus really think he is the Messiah, that he would dare to ride into Jerusalem and say this? They watched as Jesus entered the temple. You know, it was bad enough that Jesus overturned the tables and with a whip drove out the money changers, but Jesus raised it to a higher level. Here in Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus says, it is written, my house, did you catch it? My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. See, Jesus doesn't refer to this as the house of God. He doesn't refer to it as the Temple of Solomon. He says, plainly and boldly and with assurance, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, I want you to be aware of the significance of that. He is saying this house of God, this house where Yahweh, that's a Hebrew name of God, where Yahweh dwells, is the house that belongs to Jesus. He is claiming ownership. At the same time that Jesus says that, now listen, all the sacrifices that have been offered in that house, all the temples, all the blood that has been shed as sacrifices to Yahweh belong to Jesus. Is this blasphemy? That he would dare to make that kind of a declaration. My house, meaning all the gold, all the offerings that have been brought to God, all the sacrifices belong to me because this is my house. What a bold declaration. What a bold statement for a man to make, to declare that the house of God is his, because he is saying he is God. Does Jesus really think he is the Messiah? Does Jesus really think that he is God, that he is Yahweh? In Matthew 21, verse 15, it tells us that when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Now, when Jesus marched in, people were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. But now in the temple, in the house of God, the children are even saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to this one. And they were indignant. It really, really upset them that the children are beginning to proclaim Jesus to be this Messiah, to be this deliverer of Israel. The children are doing it. And the leaders asked Jesus, now listen to this, in verse 16, they said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And listen to the response of Jesus. It's very telling. He says, yes. What's he mean by yes? He's saying, yes, I have heard what the children are saying. Now, the real question that the leaders and the authorities of that day are asking Jesus is not just simply, do you hear what they are saying? But do you hear what they're saying? With it is the implication, Jesus, you need to rebuke these children from saying that. because it is false. And they're watching how Jesus responds. Jesus says, yes, I've heard them. Have you never read? See, he puts it back on them. I've heard. And instead of rebuking the children the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees think he ought to, he says, yes, I have heard them. Have you never read that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? Now, the word perfected there is very interesting. It means to render complete. In other words, Jesus, by that phrase, is saying, I am not going to rebuke them. And what they've had, what they say, is accurate. Wow. What a statement to make to these people. Jesus is saying, what more needs to be said? What more needs to be said than what these children are saying? Because God is using the children to give out, to have perfected praise, or to complete, to render complete what's going on here today. See, the answer to does Jesus really think he is the King, the Messiah, does he really think he is Yahweh, is becoming clearer and clearer as to who Jesus believes that he is. Finally, in Matthew 21:23, we find the chief priest asking the real question. He says, when they came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Jesus as he was teaching. As he was teaching. That'd be like you interrupting me during a sermon. How dare you? I'm giving a message. I'm talking to you. I'm sharing things about the kingdom of God with you. And you interrupt me? Well, they interrupted Jesus. And listen to what they said. As he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? In other words, how dare you say what you're saying? How dare you teach what you're teaching? And by the way, who gave you the authority to teach and to say the things that you're doing? This is the question of the ages, isn't it? By what authority? And the next question goes with it. Who gave you this authority? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. By what authority? Who gave you that authority? Paul, who gave you that authority to say that? The Lord Jesus Christ gave him the authority to say it. You know, on another Palm Sunday 30 years ago, Living Faith began. For 3 years, God had moved in our congregation we had at that time. 3 years God had moved in words and prophecy and healings. There was an outbreak of the Holy Spirit that we had not planned, had not prepared for. People started coming to us and just asking, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And Debbie and I had very little knowledge at the time. We were only about 6 weeks old, we were still novices in the Holy Spirit. Had never led anybody into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And finally, suddenly, people started coming up. The day we moved into the parsonage, the day we moved into the house, Roxanne and another woman came to us, and they just started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we just thought to ourselves, this is curious. Because in all the churches we interviewed in, that was the only church that did not ask us if we were baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there was a hunger. People started coming to the house and they started getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They started coming up after church services and we snuck them into a room to pray with them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit because we thought it should have been a private matter. And then we made a mistake. The youth leaders took the youth to go to a youth camp. And then at the youth camp, there were four children, four of the youth, that asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Roxanne and I took them down to the basement and we prayed with them, and God's faithful and he baptized all of them in the Holy Spirit. And we thought, well, this is really pleasant. This is really sweet. On the bus ride on the way back home, the kids started praying for each other. By the time the bus of about 20 to 25 kids got home, they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. That Sunday morning, when it came to me of what had happened, and that Sunday morning, I got up to preach, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. He says, you've always taken me in the back room. If you do that now, you're going to teach these children to be embarrassed about who I am. By what authority? And so we started openly proclaiming the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We started openly teaching about the gifts and the workings of God. We started openly doing these things. And the move of God became more and more evident within that congregation. And finally, we had the leaders that came to us. And they said, you can heal on Sunday evening. You can heal on Wednesday nights, but not on Sunday morning. And I recounted a memory of the scripture where they came to Jesus and said, you can heal all the days of the week, but not on the Sabbath day. And the real question behind them was, by what authority do you do this, and who gave you that authority? That was the question. That was what they were struggling with. That's what they were dealing with, because they saw it as an invasion. They saw it as a threat to who they were. But if you're after God, he does not threaten us. And so we knew at that time that we had to leave, that was going to be the end of it. You know, it's always the same question of authority. It's always the same question that people raise. By what authority do you use the name of Jesus? It's curious to me that in the scripture, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven. When to call God Father in Jewish understanding is equivalent to calling yourself equal with God. And yet Jesus taught his children to pray, our Father. When Jesus said, all power and all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, and I give you my name, he's saying, all the power and the authority that I have, I give over to you. By what authority? Who gave you this authority? Well, Jesus is the answer. When the first church started, the authorities tried to silence them. They arrested the apostles. They put them into jail. And it says in Acts chapter 5 that the Lord sent an angel, and he came and opened the prison doors and brought them out. And the next day, they went to the prison to get the apostles, and they weren't there. And they brought the guards before and says, what happened to the apostles? And they said, we don't know. And suddenly another guard came in and said, they're out in the street. They're preaching the gospel of God. They're talking about Jesus Christ and the resurrection again. And they brought them before the chief council. And they highly recommended, the Bible says, sternly warned them to not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and not to speak in his name any longer. And they came up with the famous phrase, we ought to obey God rather than men, because it comes down to the question of authority. By whose authority and who gave you that authority? See, Jesus on Palm Sunday was displaying himself as the King, as the Messiah, as Yahweh, and there can only be one response. Jesus asked us, and this is a vision of the church, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And Jesus is always asking, when I come, will I find faith? Will I find someone who believes in me? Will I find someone that will stand on the name of Jesus, that will not yield, that will not compromise? Will I finally find one person that will stand for who I am? Jesus is waiting for our response. You know, it's not enough to know that Jesus exists. Jesus asks that we recognize that he is Lord. That's what Palm Sunday was all about. It was about, you either accept who I am or you're going to crucify me. And everyone said, we would never crucify you. The crowds sang Hosanna to the Son of David as he entered the city. And yet by the end of the week, many in that same crowd had turned against Jesus and were yelling, crucify him. The reality is, if you do not make Jesus Lord, that you are crucifying him, that you are nailing him to the cross. There are no innocent parties. You either recognize him as Lord and yield your life, or you're killing Christ. That is the struggle that the Pharisees dealt with. That's the struggle that the crowd dealt with. This is the struggle that all men deal with. By what authority, Jesus, do you proclaim these things? By what authority do you say these things about yourself? By what authority? And who gave you that authority? And Jesus relies on the scriptures. And he boldly proclaims on his entrance into Jerusalem, I am the King, I am the Messiah. When he declares, my house shall be a house of prayer, he is boldly declaring, I am God. the one that you have sacrificed to, the one you have prayed to, the one you have sought after, I am He. And our only response can be, You are my Lord. You are my God. I know many people find this hard. They think this is demanding. They think God's being cruel, that God's being unjust when He says these things to us. But let me share this out of Matthew 11. Jesus said, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus knows that so many of us don't understand, life is hard. This world is confusing. This world will contradict itself. This world will pull you one way and another way. The only way you can find rest for your souls, the only way you can find that peace that we're so desperately searching for is to make Jesus Christ our Lord, to honor Him and yield our lives to Him. For when we do that, while we may labor and carry many weights with us and worries and fears, God will give us rest in the midst of it. While we take on the yoke of the world and we bear the burdens that the world tries to put on us, Jesus says, if you take my yoke, I'll teach you, for you will learn from me. For he is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will again find rest for your souls. For he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not like the world that is harsh, that demands all these things out of us, but God wants to bless us. And when he says that you are, that we must make the declaration that Jesus is Lord, he's saying that in opposition to the world being Lord over you, because you can only have one Lord. It is either the world, it is either all the situations, or it is Jesus Christ. And he says, if you come my way, I'll bless you. If you come my way, I'll make it easier on you. But if you want to stay in the world, you'll always have this burden that you can never get rid of. This is what Jesus is saying on Palm Sunday. This is still what he's saying to us as living faith, what he's saying to the world. Here I am. But you've got to choose. You've got to make the choice. And it's setting in motion everything from now on. You know, it's a scary thing to preach the gospel of Christ because I know I'm putting you on a precipice. And you've got to choose which way you're going to fall, which way you're going to land. And I and nobody else can make that choice for you. You have to make the choice. You say, well, that's not fair. I'm sorry. Because I know some people, like what we've been studying before, for some, we are the fragrance of death. But for those who turn, we are the fragrance of life. We are the fragrance of the glory and the grace and the power of God in your life. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. My prayer for you always is that we make our commitment to Christ. That even if we don't give a formal altar call, that I want to confront you and challenge you enough that you will be forced to make a decision for God. That your conscience will eat at you until you do the thing that you know is the right thing to do. Because you're here because you know the right thing. Amen? You're here because you want relief. You're here because you already have a basic belief in God or a searching or a questioning of who He is. But we need sometimes to be pushed to make that clear decision. Jesus is Lord. It's not an acknowledgement that He already is, but it's that commitment. Jesus is my Lord. He is in charge of my life. I will follow Him all the days, no matter where it leads and no matter what it costs. Because that is better than the life that I would have without Him. It is a better way of living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you today to teach us about yourself. Give us revelation and give us understanding of who you are. Lord, let us come to understand that Jesus is God. And because you are God, we owe our allegiance to you. Because you have created us to have life, not to die, but to have life. And we can only find that life in you, because that's where it originated from. Father, I pray today that we would make a choice for you, to serve you, to walk with you, Father. I thank you, Father, that when we acknowledge you to be Lord, Father, that you have already forgiven us of all sin. You've already cleansed us of all unrighteousness. You've made the way easy for us to come to you. Father, that we would see that we would walk with you every single moment. Father, when we declare that Jesus is our Lord, we're also asking for Jesus to direct our lives, to lead us and to guide us into all the truth, to help us grow up into him, to understand the things that we need to understand, that we could walk in the life that God has provided for us. For this, Father, we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. Father, as we're getting ready for our meal, we ask that you bless it. Lord, we thank you for all those that have labored, all those that have prepared food, all those that have gotten the tables ready and all the service. Lord, we ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless our food and to bless our fellowship this afternoon. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.